scripture reading before the lesson this morning will be taken from Romans, the 10th chapter. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're so thankful you're here with us this morning to worship God in spirit and truth. We have many visitors with us this morning. We're very thankful for each and every one. We're very thankful that you've had safe travels and that you're with us today. And certainly we want you to know here at Sandyville Church of Christ, we really sincerely try to do everything in spirit and in truth. We try to do everything with a thus saith the Lord. We try to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent, and we certainly are doing our very, very best to stay true to the words of God that we have with us in the form of the Bible. If you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, that is where we're going to be focusing this morning. And what we're going to be looking at is what Paul saw when he looked out in the world. Of course, you remember Saul, he was a great persecutor of the church. He was going into people's homes that were Christians and tearing them out, and really he was at some of the executions of many Christians. And Paul, as the book of Acts unfolds, we see that Saul becomes a Christian, changing his name to Paul, and Paul dedicates his life in service to the Lord, writing many letters to the churches of Christ, the church, and he dedicates his life to the service of the Lord. And in Romans chapter 10, we get a little peek at what Paul is seeing when he looks out into the world. And what I would suggest is that when Paul looks out to the world at the very religious people that are around them, it's the same picture that we see many times, if we're honest with ourselves, when we look out to the world today. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul is going to make a lot of observations. Paul says, I'm looking out at the religious world. You know what? Today, we can do the same thing, and we can look out in the religious world. The question is do we see the same thing as the Apostle Paul, or are we blind to what the Apostle Paul sees? What do you mean by that? Well, number one, when we look at Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, let's look at the first verse. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. When Paul looked out to the world, he saw a lot of lost people. He saw a lot of religious people. And I am convinced that many people in the religious world right now will refuse to see what Paul looked out to the world and said he saw. He says, I see a lot of lost people. And you know what? Even worse than that, a lot of these people are very religious. He's going to tell you, they're very religious. And Paul's heart breaks for these people. See, a lot of people will not look out to the world and say, you know what, there are many very religious people, many very sincere individuals out in the world that are lost. Isn't that what we get from verse 1? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now, he's talking about Jews here, but I think this could certainly apply to the very religious world around us. I think this applies to Jews. I think this involves other religions of the world. I think this involves individuals that are even in the denominational world. Do we have the same desire as Brother Paul? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, for Israel, is that they may be saved. Paul is acknowledging that there are some religious people out there that will be lost. Very religious, very sincere, very zealous. And I think many people have taken something and they have put it over their eyes and they won't see what the Apostle Paul saw. He looks out in the world and says, I see some very religious people, but they're lost. Can we see what the Apostle Paul sees, or have we blinded our eyes? Paul has an intense desire for individuals that are very religious, but they're lost. He says, I want them to be saved. I'm praying for them. And not only is Paul praying for them, we see throughout his life, he conducts his life in such a way that through example, through his conduct, through his speech, he was trying to lead people to Christ. He would not let any opportunity pass to try to spread the gospel and try to bring people to the Lord's church. You know, God desires the very religious to be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In fact, why has God not returned? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has God not returned? God has not returned because God is patient and God is trying to give individuals time that are very religious and very sincere to change. To come to a knowledge of the truth and change. God is patient. God desires the very religious to be saved. And what we want to do is we want to look at some of these very religious people. And we want to look at what Paul sees in the very religious world. You know, God, Jesus, was on a mission. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Mark chapter 10, and verse 45, it says, God did not come, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came so that people would be saved. Jesus came so the Jews would be saved. Jesus came so the very religious would be saved. And Paul is acknowledging in verse 1 that there are individuals that are walking around this world that are sincere, they're zealous, but they're lost. They're sincere, they're zealous, but they're lost. And this is not an easy message to preach, and certainly it was not easy on Paul. Paul says, I'm praying for the Jews. I'm praying for the very religious and zealous people. I'm praying for them. Not only did he pray for them, he did everything in his power to make sure that they would know the truth. You understand that individuals do have to obey the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul understood that the Jews had not obeyed the gospel. Paul understood that. They did not obey the gospel. They did not know God the way they should. Even though many people say they know God, they don't know God the way they should. And we'll look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 if we have chance. There's a lot of people that say they know God, but really they don't. The first thing is, can we see what Paul sees? In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, I'm looking out to the world, and I'm seeing the Jews, and I'm seeing very religious and sincere people. I'm praying for them because they're lost. And many individuals will not come to terms with that. Many individuals are convinced that everyone in the religious world is saved. Everyone that is zealous is saved. There's many people that are even saved. The Jews are saved. But Jesus said, unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. That's what Jesus said. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. The Jews don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They do not believe that He came as the Son of God to die for our sins. Jews don't believe that. Jesus says, unless you believe I am He, you'll die in your sins. And that's the people Paul praying for here. He's praying for the Jews. He wants them to come to a knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He died for their sins, and that they would be obedient to the gospel call, and that they would do the same as we see the Christians, the people becoming Christians throughout the book of Acts. He had a strong desire for these individuals. When Paul looked out at these religious individuals, what did he see? Number one, he saw some zeal. He saw some zeal. He saw sincerity. He saw some passion in them following their beliefs. Let's look at verse 2. He said, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Implication, they're not saved. He says, For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul says, I'm looking out to the world and I'm seeing lost people. Not only am I seeing lost people that are very religious, but they are very passionate, they are very sincere, they are very zealous, but they don't have the knowledge they need to be Christians and to serve Christ in a correct way. You know what? Similar to Paul, And many times when I talk to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we make the same observation. We look out in the religious world, we look out into the denominational world, and many of these individuals are extremely zealous. They're extremely sincere. But you know what they lack? They lack knowledge. See, the Jews, they're very passionate. The Jews are practicing what they believe to be correct, but they lack knowledge. And Paul really feels for these people, because Paul, if you remember, was a Jew. Paul was a Jew, and he was killing Christians. And Paul talks about himself on multiple occasions. Paul says, I was ignorant. I didn't know that Jesus was the Christ. I didn't know that this was the right way. I was ignorant for a period of time, but then I learned. And once I learned, I became a Christian, and I served God the best of my ability. Many people in the religious world, they're ignorant. And we'll talk about that term a little later on, but that's what Paul says. He says, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, not according to knowledge. He says, for they being ignorant. Paul says, when I look out into the religious world, I see a lot of people that are passionate, they're zealous, and they're sincere, but they're lacking the knowledge they need to serve the Lord. Paul, speaking about himself in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, he says this. He says, Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, there was a time in my life I was a Jew. And when I was a Jew, I was a good Jew. I did what the things that I was supposed to do underneath Judaism. And I was doing these things, and many of these things were actually against Jesus Christ. I thought I was doing the right thing, but I wasn't. He needed to be enlightened. He needed to come to a knowledge of the truth. If you look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and following, he talks about himself again. He says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. Paul says, you heard about my life. You heard about how I was a Jew and how I was practicing Judaism. He said, for you have heard of my formal conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You know why I think Paul hurt so bad? Because Paul, at one point, was a non-Christian. And Paul, not only was a non-Christian, Paul realizes that he did not know what he needed to know. And when he did not know those things, he did not do those things that he was supposed to do. In fact, he was an enemy of the church. He was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. He was doing everything in his power to stop the church. He was raising up in the ranks of Judaism. In his religion, he was very high. He was very zealous, but he was wrong. There are many people out in the religious world. And I say this with kindness in my heart. There are many people out in the religious world that are sincere, passionate, zealous, but they don't know what they're doing. They're not following the scriptures. And Paul says that of himself. He says, there was a period in my life where I was trying to do good. I was trying to do what I was supposed to do, but it wasn't right. It wasn't what God wanted me to do. And the only way we can know what God wants us to do is to read His Word. Very eager, very motivated, very passionate, very zealous. But I don't know what to do. There are many people in the religious world, they're very zealous, but they don't know what to do. So what happens is they don't do good because they don't know what to do. They're very passionate and zealous, Paul was, but he wasn't doing right things because he didn't know what those right things were to do. Now, before we're too hard on those individuals out there that are zealous, that lack knowledge, what I want you to think about is we can have two individuals. We've got a person that's got zeal and no knowledge. Guess what? They're going to do no good. Well, why are they going to do no good? Because they don't know what good is. But we have other individuals in this world. We have individuals that don't have zeal, but they have knowledge of the scriptures. But guess what? Those people don't do good either. You understand you need both of these to be a good follower of God. You need to have zeal and you need to have knowledge. You need to have both. If you have zeal but you don't have knowledge, guess what? You're not going to do good. Because you don't know what good is. But there's people out there that don't have zeal, but they know what to do, but they don't do it. And some of that is our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they know what they should be doing, but they're not doing it. You know that both those individuals end up in the same place? They both end up not doing good. The person that's jealous but doesn't know what good is doesn't do good. The person that has no zeal, but they have a knowledge, but they don't do it, they're not doing good either. In fact, in James chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, if we know to do good and we don't do it, to him it is sin. See, a lot of times the Lord's church will be very hard on the zealous religious world. The zealous religious world that doesn't have the correct knowledge, so they're not doing any good. But if you're a member of the Lord's church and you have a knowledge of what you're supposed to be doing, but you're not doing it because your zeal is lacking, guess what? You're in the same spot. You're in the same spot. Paul says, I look out in the religious world, I see some people that are very zealous, but they don't have the knowledge. You know that as New Testament Christians, we're supposed to have zeal. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. It says, don't be slothful in zeal. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, there's a letter to some of the churches there in Asia Minor. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. The Bible tells us we should have zeal. But if we don't have knowledge, we don't end up in a good place. Paul didn't end up in a good place. He was very zealous. He tells you out of his own lips, he says, I was very zealous, but I was wrong. I didn't know what to do. I had an incorrect understanding, and you know what? That led to me not doing what I was supposed to be doing. There's two ways we can mess up the Christian life. There's two ways we can mess up worship. Zeal and knowledge. Or perhaps you might say spirit and truth. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's that talking about? Christians must have the right attitude, they must have the right heart, they must have the right zeal, and they also must be doing what God says is truth. We need to have zeal, and we need to have knowledge. We need to have spirit, and we need to have truth. That's what God's looking for. If we're missing either of those, we're in trouble. We are not really doing what God wants us to do. You know, worship can be messed up that way. We can come to worship, and we can do what God asks us to do, but if we don't have the right heart, just throw it away. In fact, we see that all throughout the Scriptures. Do you think God will accept any kind of worship? You look through the Old Testament, God rejected worship all the time. We can go back to Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, two brothers. One offers one offers another thing. And God says, I don't respect that one. We go throughout the Old Testament, we see in Malachi, these individuals are conducting themselves in worldly ways, and then they're showing up to worship, and God says, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to accept this. And Amos, he says, I don't even want to hear the singing. In Amos chapter 5, he says, I don't even want to hear the singing anymore. Amos the prophet speaking for God. God says, I don't want to hear the singing anymore. Why does he want to hear the singing? Because they're conducting themselves in a worldly way. And he says, you want to conduct yourself worthy and then worldly, and then you want to show up to worship? He says, I'm not going to accept that. God accepts spirit and in truth. That's what God will accept. And if we are lacking in one of those areas, we are going to be in trouble. And many times, the religious world is lacking in the area of knowledge. They are not doing what God has asked for, and they think God will accept it. Jesus calls people out in his day. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, this is Jesus speaking. He says, hypocrite. Now, hypocrite, it really carries with it the idea of pretender. So although I'm not trying to change God's word, hypocrite means pretenders. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus says, pretenders! You draw near to me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. What were these people doing? They said, we're going to worship God our own way. We're going to worship God our own way. We're not going to do what the Bible says. God asked for this, well, we're not going to do that. God asked for this, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do it our own way. Paul looks out to the religious world and said, there's some very zealous people out there, but they're not doing what God asked them to do. And he says, that's a problem. There are people that are very zealous, but if we don't have the knowledge, we will not end up doing what God wants us to do. Let's look at the next verse in Romans chapter 10. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." These people are very sincere, very passionate, but they don't have the knowledge. And then look at verse 3. It says, "For being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted to the righteousness of God." There's these people that are very passionate, very zealous, but you know what? They don't know what God has said on the subject, and they are really out of ignorance. They are doing things that God did not ask for. Paul says this about himself. Paul, before he became a Christian, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief." Paul says, "I was an ignorant man." Now, some people might not like that word. They might say, "Ty, you're being a little too rough." The Apostle Paul is using the word. He's using it about himself. He said, "I was ignorant. I lacked knowledge." And he says, many people in the religious world, they lack knowledge. They don't know what God has asked them to do. And because they don't know what God has asked them to do, they end up doing all kinds of things that God never asked for. You know, I think there are certain areas of my life that I'm ignorant. I don't know everything. I'm a bit ignorant when it comes to vehicles. Very thankful for the mechanics out there. If something goes wrong, I'm going to somebody that knows a little bit more than me. I'm ignorant in that area. You know, my kids are ignorant in a lot of areas. Well, when you have somebody that you love, that's ignorant, that lacks knowledge in a certain area, what do? If my kids are ignorant or they lack knowledge in a certain area, what do? I try to teach them. That's the loving thing to do. If my kids don't have a knowledge of something, like they're going to walk down the road, whoa, don't walk down the road, let's look both ways. You know, they're ignorant. They don't know, they don't understand and process all these things. They're ignorant of certain things. And when I see my kids are ignorant, the loving thing to do is to try to teach them. And you know what? That's what Paul tried to do all throughout his life. He saw all these people in the religious world, and he says, they're not doing what the Bible says. They're not doing what the Bible says. They're not doing what the Bible says. You know what I need to do? I need to try to teach them. I need to love them enough to teach them. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to do. He's trying to teach these individuals. He's praying for them. And you know what? There is a lot of ignorance in the religious world. Paul's saying the Jews are ignorant. There's a lot of ignorance within Christianity today. You can read the book of Acts, and I think about 2.5 hours. The book of Acts is how people become Christians. You have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tell us all about Jesus' life, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then he dies, and he says, "This is what I want you guys to do, this is what I want you to preach," and we see it start in Acts chapter 2. In the book of Acts, we see how all these individuals became Christians. And it might be surprising to you, but many people in the religious world will not do what it says in the book of Acts. Peter preaches that first message, and he comes to the end, and he says, "You need to repent and be baptized for remission of your sins." Now, there are many people out there that will not tell people that. I'm going to speak where the Bible speaks. I'm going to say what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He preaches the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He comes to the end of the lesson in Acts chapter 2. Many people say, "Hey, what do we need to do?" And Peter gives the answer. We have to follow God's system and not our own. And I think one of the biggest crimes in the religious world today is that we will not see what Paul sees. Paul says, "I look down the world, I see the very religious people, and they're lost. I see the Jews, and they're lost." But people will not come to terms with that, and they will not say that anymore. There are many people that will not say the Jews are lost. He said, "Unless you believe I am he, you'll die in your sins." The Jews do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And Paul is praying for them, and he wants to teach them that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one that fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies. He wants to do that. But one of the biggest crimes in the religious world today is the idea that we cannot come to unity and we cannot come to the same conclusion. You know, that's a crime against God and that's a crime against humanity. If we cannot come to the same conclusion about God's book, that's a crime against God and that's a crime against humanity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, "God is not the author of confusion." God is not the author of confusion. If we have confusion in the religious world today, it is not because of God. It is because of Satan is many times because of our own lusts and desires, and we want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to ask the Bible, we don't want to consult the Bible, we don't want to see what the Bible says, because if we see what it says, we're no longer ignorant, now we have to ignore. I think we can come to the same conclusion. Paul pleaded for it. I'm not saying it's an easy thing, but Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you." Wait, no divisions among you. The religious world is happy with division. That's not what Paul pleaded for. He said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." You can only do that with this book. "That you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." Jesus prayed for unity. In John chapter 17, verses 20-21, Jesus said, "I don't pray for these alone, but also on those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, and me, and I and you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." This idea we cannot come to truth and we cannot be unified, it is cancerous, it is throughout the religious world, and it's a crime against God, it's a crime against humanity. Because one, we're telling God, you can't write a book that we can come to the same conclusion on. It's a crime against God. Number two, it's a crime against humanity, because you're saying that God's creation cannot come to a conclusion about what God has written. It's attacked against God, clearly. If we can't come to the same conclusion, perhaps it's sin. Perhaps it's temptation. Perhaps it's not having a pure heart and seeing what God wants me to do. You know, there's some things in this book that are incredibly hard for me to follow and practice. But many times when people come to things in the book that are hard to practice, hard to do, you know what they say? "I'm going to ignore that." That's a little bit hard. That's a little bit challenging. And as Christians, we have to walk towards the truth and not away from it. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's only one place you can find the truth, and that is God's word. And it is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And you know what happens when we run away from God's word? We do become ignorant by choice. And a lot of times we'll do things that God never asked us to do. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, in that period of time, in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it talks about people who are calling good evil and evil good. That's in our world all around us. Because many individuals are ignorant. They don't know what God has to say about worship. They don't know what God has to say about being saved. They don't know what God says about a Christian home. They don't know what God says about elders and deacons. They don't know what God says. But they'll go to their preacher or they'll go to the religious world and they'll say, "Give me an answer." But they won't go to the Bible to get their answer. There is effort that is needed to be a Christian. We need to have zeal, oh yes. And if we don't have zeal, we're in trouble. But we also have to have knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus says many times, he says, "Have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read?" But many people do run away from the Holy Scriptures, and we're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. You know what's dangerous? Is that there's a lot of people that have zeal. They don't have knowledge. That's a problem. There's a lot of people that don't have zeal, but they have knowledge, but they don't do anything. That's a problem. But a problem when people don't know what God says is many times what they do is they do exactly what it says here, is they develop their own way. Look. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For are they a witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," they don't know what God wants them to do, "and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God." When people don't know what God's word says, they start making stuff up. And you don't have to take too much time. If you just look out in the religious world, you can see all kinds of people doing different things in different ways. And you know why? Because they're not following God's word. God's word will lead us to the same place. God's word will lead us to the same road. But many people, sometimes I think they do know what the Bible says, but they just ignore it. Sometimes it's even with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible talks about the assembly of the saints in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We know the Bible says we should be fellowshipping with one another. But when we don't fellowship with one another, when we don't attend the assembly of the saints, are we ignorant, or are we just ignoring what God has said? The Bible tells us to give in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We know the Bible says to give. Do we ignore it? The Bible says to sing in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. The Bible says to sing. Will we sing or will we ignore it? The Bible says to obey our elders. We're talking about the elders of the church, the elders that meet the qualifications that we can read about in Scripture. Titus writes about the qualifications of elders. Timothy writes about the qualifications of elders. It tells us to obey those that rule over us. It's talking about the elders. Do you obey the elders or do you just ignore it? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, so you know that it says obey those who rule over you. See, in the denominational world, elders is a strange term. But you know what? Timothy talks about it. Titus talks about it. They talk about the qualifications of elders. But many of these things have disappeared from the religious world because people are not reading their Bibles any longer. If you know what the Bible says and don't do it, are you just ignoring it? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it talks about people whose conscience has been seared by a hot iron. Now, we kind of do different things, but if you get kind of branded, if an animal gets branded, that area of sin will not be sensitive anymore. And sometimes people's hearts don't get sensitive to God's word anymore. They know that the Bible says to assemble, but they're not going to assemble. The Bible says to sin, but they're not going to sin. The Bible says to do this, but they're not going to do that. Perhaps their heart is no longer sensitive to God's word anymore. And what a dangerous state to fall into. Sometimes people are very jealous, but when we lack knowledge, we actually invent things. And there are many things invented in the religious world that are incredibly dangerous. You could go to a lot of different churches, per se, and each one will tell you something different on how to be saved. That's a scary thing. You could go to different churches, and they'll tell you different ways to worship. That's a scary thing. You can go to different churches, and they will tell you different things. That is not what God wants. Paul pleaded for unity. Jesus prayed for unity. He wants to be united. I want to be united with the very religious people out there. And if they're very zealous and they lack knowledge, there's only one way for us to get together, and that is to teach and to cling to God's word as much as we can. Here in America, I think we have a lot of philosophies that have been very valuable to our country, but yet very dangerous at the same time. You know, one of the rights we have is freedom of religion. But a lot of people, they almost take that to the extreme of, you know what, I have freedom of religion, and I'm going to practice religion the way I want to practice. Well, let me tell you something. If the God of heaven is your God, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, He is the King of kings, and He is the Lord of lords, and He makes the rules. This is not a democracy. This is not a republic. What God says goes. And if God says do this, then that is what I'm going to try to do to the best of my ability. God doesn't have to accept our worship. If it is not in spirit, if it is not in truth, I believe God will reject it. We see God reject all kinds of worship in the Old Testament. We see Jesus saying, you guys are pretenders. You're doing what men tell you to do and not what I have told you to do. And we are foolish when we think we can do what we want to do and think God is going to accept it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, by this we know that we know Him. A lot of people run around and say they know God. By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep the commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, He who transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. How have we got the idea we can run away from what God has said and be right with God? You know, sometimes you can get discouraged. I think Paul got discouraged sometimes. I think Paul's looking out this religious world. He said they're very religious. They're zealous. They're passionate. They have a lot of zeal. They don't have the knowledge. They're not saved. And I think that can lead to sometimes us getting discouraged. But we have to cling to what the Bible says. We have to preach what the Bible says. We have to speak as the Bible speaks. We have to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Because you know what? Many will walk away. That's exactly what actually happens in John chapter 6. Jesus teaching and preaching to these individuals, and it says many of the disciples from that time walked with him no more. John chapter 6. He said many of his disciples, they walked away. He said they weren't going to walk with him anymore, and Jesus turns to them, and he says, "Will you go away also?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There's only one place we can turn to. We've got to turn to the words of God. And there's many times where individuals can get discouraged, but I can tell you, if you're going to base your faith off people of the world, you're going to be in trouble. Well, how does that go, Kyle? Well, other people are not zealous, so I'm not going to be zealous. I don't think that's what God's looking for. Well, other people, they're ignorant, and they don't know what the Bible says, so I'm going to be ignorant and not know what the Bible says. You know what? You're just making a nice pathway right away from heaven. Well, I'm not going to be zealous because the world's not zealous. I'm going to be ignorant because the world's ignorant. You know what? I'm not going to come to the Assembly of the Saints because no one else comes to the Assembly of the Saints. You know what? I'm not going to sing because no one else is singing. You know what? I'm not going to do this because of these other people. You're going to be in trouble. That's not what God is looking for. He is looking for a zealous people and a people that do have a knowledge of the Scriptures and are willing to do what God has asked. We better listen to the words of God. Because in John chapter 12, verses 48-49, Jesus says this. He says, "He who rejects me and receives not my words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken will judge in the last day. For I am not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak." Let's be a zealous people for God. Let's be a knowledgeable people of God. Because if we're missing one of those, I don't believe we are serving God in the way that He wants us to serve Him. It's easy to say, it is hard to do. You see the same thing that the Apostle Paul sees in the world, very religious and sincere people. If you do you care enough to pray for them? Do you care enough to try to teach them? That's what Paul tried to do throughout his life. If you want to become a New Testament Christian, I believe we see the pattern in the New Testament. John the Baptist prepares the way, baptizing individuals. Then Jesus dies, he's resurrected, and he says, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved." And in Acts chapter 2, we see that's exactly what they preach. We see individuals hearing the word, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. We see that all throughout the book of Acts. Someone else might tell you something different. I'll try to tell you what the Bible says. If you have any questions, we'd love to help you. We'd love to study with you. If you're subject to invitation in any way, need to pray for the church, or need to become a New Testament Christian, please come as we stand as we sing.